Let us now turn to read God's Word. And our reading this morning is from the Old Testament Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations and chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and we're reading verses 1 through to 36. And just as a key to understand as we read, Jeremiah wrote these words and he's describing the misfortune in their intense and extreme characteristics and experiences as they have come upon him. So just, we can take that to understand what we read. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into the darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness, he hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones, he hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, or I forgot happiness is another way of translating it. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That's all that he thinks of, is what verse 20 tells us. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, for the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. And so on, and may the Lord grant to us his blessing and grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We sing again the praise of our God, using this time words from Psalm 130, the whole of Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do thou hear. And to my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Just as we read these words to sing, we can find an echo of our reading and the experience of Jeremiah. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is that feared thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. I say, more than they that do watch the morning light to see. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercies be. And plenteous redemption is ever found with him. And from all his iniquities he, Israel, shall redeem. Psalm 130, Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. Will you turn with me to the portion that we read together there this morning, and to the book of Lamentations and chapter 3, and we may read again at verse 21, bearing in mind the setting of the person who wrote these words and the turmoil that he's been through many a year and day. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. We describe there the way in which he's been through years and years of turmoil, described in the earlier part of this chapter. But he's never been wiped out, obliterated, or killed. And all the explanation he can give, it is simply this. It's of the Lord's mercies that all that has happened to him, and he has survived. Summer is at its height now, and the garden and the greenhouse are looked upon with joy and with admiration. But behind that pleasant experience, there's months of time and effort, of commitment and application. There have been times of anxieties and doubts all the time through these past months leading up to the height of summer. And there's been a huge involvement all the way along the road. When seeds are planted, there's concern, how many of them will grow? When the stage is reached for them to be planted out, we see a different danger, and there's always a question, how many will survive the onslaught of the slugs or damping off? And then as we get further along the road, there's always the question, especially over these past weeks, 3-4 weeks, how much water, or maybe too much water? How much heat, or perhaps too little heat? All of these questions, all of these experiences, behind this experience of the height of summer. The rain can come pouring down. Your hair can be flat against your head. Your clothes can be soaking wet and sticking to your body. And you can be up to your knees in mud. But you hold in your hand something that you've grown yourself. And because of that, it's precious. And it's enjoyed. There's a sweetness to the taste. And there's a pleasure to the eye. And it's yours. Because you've been so committed and involved for so long. Now that's this very similar experience to what Jeremiah leaves for us here. Life for him has been a treadmill of persecution and opposition from one direction or another. Life has been difficult for him, and It's easily said, but so hard to experience and explain. And in the midst of all of the experiences he's gone through, he's not been conscious of the closeness of the Lord. Go back and read the chapter portion again as we had it this morning. And you'll find that nowhere, until you come right down to the text itself, nowhere is the name of the Lord mentioned. It's always, he has done this, he has done that. As if there's some distance, he's not close, and there's not that perception by Jeremiah that the Lord is close with him. And yet he is aware that the life of Jeremiah is in the hand of his God. And that's his problem and his dilemma, set out in so few words for us. But then, in the midst of it all, he remembers something. He digs something out of his memory, and he digs something out of his experience. These memories, these experiences, and sometimes they can press us down. But what he gets, digs out for himself and says, this is precious. This is mine. He speaks about the faithfulness of the Lord. All of the times he's been through, the rain pouring down, his hair flat against his head, clothes wet and to his knees in mud, but he's holding on to something that is precious, the faithfulness of the Lord. Waves have been overwhelming him. But he stops and he begins to apply his faith in the situation he's in. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. He's suddenly stopped in the whirlwind of his life. He stopped and he's put the brakes on and he started to think and bring things back to his mind. He started to think, wait a minute, how have I reached this stage and still survived? How have I possibly survived so much that has been thrown against me? How much opposition that has been laid out for me? How have I survived? It's of the Lord's mercies that he's not consumed. And it's something that's not unique to himself. He says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. This is not the personal belongings of the prophet Jeremiah. This isn't our experience that is limited to the prophets of old in a distant land in a far off time. This is the daily experience, as we'll see in a moment. This is the experience of God's people then and now. God's faithfulness to him, to you, to me, wherever we are and whatever we're going through. And whenever we start to think of our faith and apply it like this, yes, the waves of oppression, doubts, fears, whatever they be for you and me, they're still bounding in upon our lives. But now hope begins to grow. Therefore have I hope. If we go back to what we said at the beginning there a moment ago, summertime, just as we've had it in these past days. Especially the summertime when you've got good weather and it's warm and balmy and everyone's about dressed the way they are. Appearances can point that everything's peaceful and everything is well. And maybe our circumstances aren't the same. But because of that summer feeling that's going on round about us, we have fears and doubts and we hold them closer to ourselves and we hold them deeper within ourselves. Our anxieties, our experiences, our doubts. And the only way we can get relief and respite, Psalm 130, as we sang it a moment ago. Where were they going to go for respite? Hope in the Lord, for with Him there is redemption. For Jeremiah, think again of the Lord's mercies keeping you safe right up to that moment, to our moment in time. We have here then simple teaching, but a rich experience for us all. The faithfulness of our Lord. And I want simply this morning to take some time, first of all looking at the teaching that's given here, and then to look at the testimony that comes out from it, and lastly the trust that is built upon it. The teaching, the testimony, the trust. First of all then, let's linger upon the teaching. Here he is, and he's sharing something with us. He's sharing something with us that is the character of God Himself. The strength of God's people, or to God's people, down through the generations. Here is something that He and others, and you and I, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is something we can stand on. This is something we can hold fast to, and we will not be let down. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. There is no change with our God, despite the changes that come upon and over His people. And so we have here a wide aspect or principle in our Christian faith based upon something rich and precious in the character of our God. Our God does not change. He does not change in the love and commitment that He has made known to every one of His own. We go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And there we are told that in eternity, before ever there was creation around us, God had a resolve and a determination to bless and to prosper and to enrich His own people. There was a loving kindness, there was a commitment, there was mercies, there is no English word equivalent to translate and to convey the riches of the Hebrew word chesed. There is this loving kindness of the Lord. A loving kindness to do good for His people. Not just simply a resolve, but also a demonstration. And when you follow through the argument of Ephesians chapter 1, you find there, yes, God resolved to do this. And how was it translated into action? By sending His Son to be the Savior of His people. It's not a one-off thing. It's not one thing that God has done, and only that one thing has He done. This is a consistency in His dealings with His people. This is the resolve of eternity for the good of His own. It's a breathtaking, it's a mind-bending concept and thought that God would be so committed to His people in this way, to do that for them. It just simply takes your breath away. And sometimes, because it is so astonishing and so amazing, sometimes doubt can creep in the back door of our minds. And so God has done an amazing thing. When you go to Genesis chapter 15 there, God has entered into a covenant. The animals were laid out, You walk down between the animals. And what you were doing was you were invoking upon yourself that same experience if you defaulted on what you promised. If you made a promise and you cut a covenant, which is what it says, then you were saying, that experience is mine if I default on the promise I've given. And that's exactly what God has done. He has committed himself. Kind, consideration, involvement, commitment, so many different words. He has tied himself for the good of his people. When they're needy, when they're helpless, when they're destitute. And all of these circumstances that we sometimes see in ourselves, when we are bouncing along the bottom, when we have so many troubles and problems knocking on the door of our life, when we see ourselves faltering and stumbling and growing cold, none of these things amend or alter. The situations we've gone through do not adjust the way in which God deals with his people. The way in which God blesses them is not because of anything in them, but wholly and only because of his resolve in his grace from all eternity. Now that is the broad teaching that Jeremiah brings back to his mind to help him through these troubles. And again, notice just in the teaching, it's plural. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Turn whichever way you will. Look at whatever aspect of your life or the life of Jeremiah. Go through all of your past days, through your diaries, through your memories, through your photographs, through your experiences. Dredge and trawl out of your memory, and you'll find time and time again this truth precious to you. The Lord has made a promise, and the Lord will stick to it and stand by it to his people. But not only are we told here of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, we're also told that his compassions fail not. And again, let's get the taste, let's get the teaching out in front before us. The word that is used here for compassions, it's the same root word that's used for the womb. And right away we're into the area of motherhood and children. And we are immediately aware that here we're told of the great display of love that a mother has for a child. And you go back to a passage like Isaiah chapter 49. And there, yes, we're told, can a mother forget her suckling child? The most touching and poignant example of love. A mother to a child. Yes, it's touching. It's tender. But yes, sad to say, we know it in our own experiences in life, in our society. A mother isn't always like that. But the very example that is quoted in Isaiah 49 simply illustrates, although people are not like that, a mother might default in that very way. Although that might be the experience amongst men, it is never the case with God. God will not forsake. God will not abandon, will not withdraw his love to his people. His mercies, his compassions fail not. And again, they are abundant and they are varied. If you take a prism of glass and shine white light through it, you can break that white light into all of the primary colours. And when we apply a prism of faith to our life with all of its white light, if we want to put it that way, going through the prism of faith, we have it broken down into the displays of the variety and the abundance of the compassions of our God. The multicolored grace, compassion, mercies of our God. So rich, so beautiful, so full. Why then is Jeremiah still walking the earth and breathing the air? Why then are you? Why then am I? When we think of all that we've been through and when we listen to what Jeremiah has been through, how can we explain? How can we explain his survival? By recalling to mind, as he did, and as we ought to do ourselves. And as we do it, we will have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But not only does he say it like that, he lingers on it. And yet more teaching we've got to get from it for ourselves. He says, yes, we said this is not a one-off experience. He says they are new every morning. There's nothing theoretical about what he's telling us. It's not something you get out of books. It's not something that comes in a lecture theatre. There is a reality to what he's telling us here about the loving kindness and the mercies of God. Jeremiah put God first. And as he did so, he knew the reality of what he's teaching. They were new to him every morning. A new day with new opportunities and new problems. But God was not beaten. God was not exhausted. God was not baffled. In this past week, it's been a pleasure each morning. We get up and we see the sun in the heavens, and there's that smell of summer in the air. It's a fresh smell, and it lifts our spirit and makes us joyful. There's the excitement of another day of warmth, of light. Nothing stale. And so it is in the spiritual realm also, even more so. There's nothing of God's provision stale. There is nothing dull, but it's fresh and it's new. A new day with new struggles. We've got nothing we can carry forward from yesterday. But everything that we need for today, God will provide as it comes into our life. We can cope with the challenges, whatever dimension or quality they have. We can start each day in the presence of our God. And whatever comes our way, we know that he will be there beside us to help us through. Yes, they're new every morning. But not only that, we are told, the Lord is my portion. And again, let's get the teaching. The word portion here is the word that was used. Remember, they were coming into the land of promise, and every tribe of God's people was allocated a different area in that land of promise. Who's going to be given the flat land? And who's going to be given the hills? Who's going to have the rich agricultural ground? Or who's going to have the hill pasture? Who's going to be in the safe and comfortable areas? who's going to be in the danger zone. Each of these portions were given to the tribes by God as he knew them and knew where they were going. And that's what this word, the root of this word here. And so what the prophet is telling us is this. He's cut loose from handicaps. He's cut loose from danger. He draws nearer to his God because he knows that the portion that God has given him, whether it's in the safety of the pasture or out in the hills and in the danger, there are times when he's had to go through a long time. He's had to go through these troubles and difficulties and portions. And maybe he's been thinking, well, can I survive and will I keep going? And why has it been given to me? But now he says, yes, this is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Because he knows what I'm like. And he knows what has been given to me. And he knows that I will carry on through it. And he knows that I will trust in him. The Lord is my portion. Is it Psalm 18 that says, my times are in his hands. He knows me and he set out the path of life for me. And therefore as I walk it, I will never be tried or tested beyond his ability. So therefore, I will walk softer and I will walk closer with my Lord. The teaching of this passage, and I quite deliberately lingered upon it because as we teach, so we learn. But I indicated there were two other things very, very briefly by way of maybe of application we can take out of it. First of all, I want us to think of testimony. We have a saying in Psalm 145, God is good to all his folks, his people. God is good to those who are the objects of his love. God is a good God. And there is nothing untoward in his dealings with any of his people. And Jeremiah would put his hand up and say, amen. From his youth, his life stretched out in front of him. Wherever that service of God took him, whatever was in store for him, as his years unfolded, so the crises developed. He was confronted by troubles and problems, but there was also, with that confrontation, a confirmation. A confirmation of this truth. This was his testimony in all of the difficulties he came through. It wasn't theory. I've been in places. And I've been in situations, he's telling us, where the only thing that kept him going was this text and the truth of it. I've proved it, he's telling us. That's the testimony that he's giving to us. God's word has stood the test. He was speaking to the tribe of Judah. But they weren't listening, but God spoke louder and harder and tighter through Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was suffering because of it. He was in the stocks, he was put in a well, he was put in prison, he was beaten up. You name it, he's had it and been through it. Yet for all of these years, he's held on to this text. The flippancy and the lightheartedness of youth soon passed by him. And he held on spiritually to this text as his truth, his bulwark, his holdfast. Time after time when new things came upon him, when other people would have despaired and gone down and sunk for the third time without coming up, Jeremiah came up. He kept going. This was his testimony. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God's word is not restricted to one day. It's not limited only to spiritual themes. It's not discussed and considered by few of us when we gather together like this on the Lord's Day. This truth that he's speaking of and knew as a reality in his life, this truth he took out into society. This truth he took with him day after day when he was in the pit, in the well, beaten up, when he was a prisoner. It came with him 7 days out of seven. We have the saying 24/7. It was there with him through the rough and the tumble of life. And because the rain pouring down, his hair flat against his head, his clothes wet up to his knees in mud. But he had this precious truth. He kept hold of it day after day after day. The Lord is my portion. And that was his testimony. And as it was his testimony, so it's a challenge to us. Is it ours? Have we got that living faith that we can take with us out into life? We don't have the same problems as Jeremiah had. Life today, so far at least, doesn't have that kind of open, hostile persecution as he had to face. We don't know what's in store for our nation, of course. But there are other troubles and problems of complacency and indifference that come upon us that are just as threatening to the Christian's life. There's always the danger of giving in and giving up our standards and weakening our position. There's always a threat of knocking back our stance and becoming a little bit more like the world and getting closer to the world. And our voice and our testimony can be muted. Dangers with each generation, each setting. How are we going to survive? We can only do so by thinking just like Jeremiah did. The Lord is my portion. He will keep me as I walk close and softly with him. That's his testimony. And he's asking us the question, is it ours? Because that leads on not only from his testimony to his trust. Why was he doing this for himself? Why was he remembering these things in his mind? He was doing so to strengthen his own trust. We have it, I recall these things to my mind. Pause. And then think of the conclusion that he gives in verse 21. Therefore have I hope. Come down to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. There he is going through hard times. But he's holding on to the Lord. And he's trusting in the Lord's goodness and mercies that he's known in the past. And that he'll know again in the future. He may be going through difficulties just now. He may be going through hardships just right now. But the time will come when they will finish and they will end. And he will know in a fresh and a new, in a broader, deeper, richer way, the mercies and the compassions of the Lord. It's easy to see these things when we're going through fair weather. It's easy to see and to pick up on these things, but God's compassions and God's mercies are just as present when we're going through troubles and difficulties. We may not pick up on them because we're so concerned with the storms and the troubles about us. But the cloud and the rain neither lessen nor weaken, even although they might hide the compassion of our God. And so he calls himself and us to trust in the Lord. Can we therefore stand in the same sandals as Jeremiah? Life may be hard, but he knew what kept him going. He knew what to stand on. He knew what to hold on to. My God is faithful. He is my portion. And daily I am testimony to his covenant faithfulness. Day after day I know his provision for my every need. And as I go through these troubles, hard and difficult as they are, that portion of the Lord is all the sweeter than precious. Two things as we close. How are we going to respond to the testimony of the life of Jeremiah that we've got this morning? He is the portion of Jeremiah. Is he our portion for the salvation of our soul? That's the first question and application. And the second question is this. Who are we going to tell what our God is like? We have a mission and we have a responsibility to share it with others. God has come beside us and taught us this morning. Who then can we now go out and share with others what the Lord has brought to us? Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, the Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we stare into thy word and we are confronted with truths that challenge, that comfort, truths that address the needs of our soul, our destiny, that address the experiences we go through and help us to cope with what is before us. Lord, enable us with a living faith to walk day after day for thee. And for those strangers to thee this day, may the words and the testimony of one of old disturb and trouble us where we are. And may we know thy grace in bringing us to trust in thee as Jeremiah did. For we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And at verse 8, we last five verses of the psalm. His loving kindness, yet the Lord command will in the day. His songs with me by night, to God by whom I live, I pray. And I will say to God my rock, why me forgetst thou so? Why for my foes oppression thus mourning do I go? 'Tis as a sword within my bones when my foes me upbraid, even when by them, where is thy God? 'Tis dearly to me said. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why thus with grief oppressed art thou disquieted in me, in God still hope and rest? For yet I know I shall him praise, who graciously to me the health is of my countenance. Yea, mine own God is he. Psalm 42, 8 through to the end of the psalm, his loving kindness, yet the Lord. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest.